It's a fried rice Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Bah humbug, everybody. And I hate Christmas.
No, you don't.
That's all I had planned. I love Christmas. And welcome to another 8 miserable nights of Christmas. I'm your host, Andy Scrooge Rice. And this is Fried Rice Podcast. Let's get fried. With me, as always, it's Brennan. I couldn't think of a bad, like a, oh. Brennan got ran over by a reindeer just the eve right before Christmas Day. No one knew if his mustache would make it. It might still be floating up this day. Shipley up to Boston.
Hello, everybody.
In case you're wondering, none of this is pre-planned.
Oh, yeah. All these songs are off the cuff, baby. With us, as always, it is Michael Bahumbug. He's Scrooge. He's the turkey that Scrooge buys at the end of the movie. He's the puppets version of the Christmas Carol. He's the ghost of Christmas future, Christmas past, and Christmas present. He is death reincarnate. He's a floating little ballerina fairy. He's a taxi driver from hell. He is Michael Larson.
If I'm anyone in this movie, it's Bobcat.
He's Bobcat. Yeah, you're absolutely fucking right. All I named every character in this except for the dog that he dresses up as and Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. And welcome, everybody. If you haven't guessed it already, we're doing Scrooge, baby. Bill Murray. Look it up, IMDb, if you want to know what year it came out. I'm not writing these things down anymore. We're just taking notes. We watched it recently. Here's some of our thoughts. I like to nitpick. Mike likes to do similes and comparisons to kind of give you a more artistic point of view. And Brendan likes to listen and hang out with occasionally. He's got something to say. It's always a pleasure. Earlier,
you know it's important when he says it.
That's so right.
Earlier this week, I said to Mike, I was like, you know what we need to, for smaller content, we need to start focusing, because we're going to start doing that a little bit, but I was like, I need to start taking some of my more abstract ideas and condensing it all down into like 1 minute content. And we need to take Mike's like pages of reviews that he writes and like condense it down into like 1 minute worth of stuff. And then we need to take Brennan's stuff and expand it into 1 minute's worth of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I keep my stuff short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Yeah. That is what he does, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. So let's get into it. I put Scrooge. So right in the beginning, we get a very aggressive Santa Claus, like killing people, like trying to protect his family. And I wrote down Violent Night 2, crossed it out. Fat Man 2, crossed it out. The Night the Reindeer Died is such a great game.
The Night the Reindeer Died.
I would rather be watching that movie as well. I'd rather be watching The Night the Reindeer Died.
Scrooge?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Just at that point in the movie, I'm like, well, this looks pretty damn good.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It looks great. Yeah, it's one of those fake trailers that if Robert Rodriguez or Quentin Tarantino picked up The Night the Reindeer Died and went full 80s cheese with it
for
the next Christmas grindhouse, I would be totally into it.
Yeah. The thing I was curious about, did all desk drawers in the 80s have a mirror in them?
Oh, yeah. Cocaine.
Yeah. Coke.
Yeah, that was coke. I know, when he opened the drawer.
And I was like, yeah, that's an 80s
and
thing.
And agencies, yes.
I didn't even, it's funny. Right now when you said it, when you said the words mirror in the drawer, I thought cocaine.
Oh, yeah. That's,
every time I've ever watched this movie, not once have I thought he does cocaine. Because he doesn't actually do any lines of coke
in the movie.
But what a direct, not even subtle reference that my brain has never.
Well, you were probably a kid when you saw this movie.
No, I've seen it. I watch it off season
sometimes.
But I'm saying,
it's just,
I watch this movie multiple times a year sometimes.
I still didn't pick it up until this time either, so don't feel bad.
Okay.
I watch it all the time, too, and I never noticed that.
We kind of watch movies differently for this than we do just watching
them. Yeah, kind of nitpick a little bit more.
Father Loves Beaver was a funny.
I put, okay, not cool. Funny, but not cool.
That's so funny. No.
Funny, but not cool.
That's one of the best.
That's what some of this movie doesn't hold up in those ways. Like,
you know. Wait, hold on. I think that's one of the funny jokes in this.
It's hilarious, but you would not make that joke, would you?
Father Loves Beaver making fun of... what's the name of the show? Everyone Loves Beaver?
Leave it to Beaver.
Leave it to Beaver.
Everyone Loves Beaver.
I'm thinking of Everyone Loves... Everyone
That's
hates
a different
Chris.
Kind of show, Andy.
Everyone Loves Raymond.
That's the point.
That's like a Skinamax version of that show.
Yeah. Everyone Loves Beaver. No, I think that was just a funny play on words. I don't think they went in the actual little fake little sitcom. They didn't go too far.
No.
It was just a play
just
on words.
This movie in general, there's other points in this movie and the other movie that we watched that are very...
Oh, I'll say that
they
aged.
Aged. Yeah.
There
yeah,
are some parts in this that... What is this movie rated, by the way?
Isn't it R?
Is it R?
I thought it was R.
I don't think it's R.
I think it's
PG-13
because there's not like a lot of F-bombs and
no,
there's only a little bit of nipple.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, a little bit of nipple.
You hardly see the nipple.
Charles Dickens would want to see her nipples. That was the... You know, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Some of
but
this
that's,
was
but
a little...
I'll give you this, if anything.
Character prevalent. It makes sense.
If you wanted a PG Scrooged, which they could have made this into without changing much, then I agree with you that it would have made actually a more family-friendly, more accessible content. Maybe some of the jokes that they let Bill Murray do, like improvise, come up, you know, whatever, might be a little too far. But at the same time, it is what it is at this point. It's a PG-13, you know, teetering on an R with some of the nipples. So, like, I'm okay with it having some poor taste jokes.
Yeah, I'm not, but it just isn't kind of what I'm saying. I'm okay with that too. Look, I love Violent Night. I love R-rated Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
The difference is you know it going in, and in this you don't.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. This is a movie that if you just hear about, which obviously this far down the line, no, but if you just hear about, you're gonna say, oh, I can watch that with my kids, and it's probably not really kid appropriate.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like Ghostbusters too. Like Ghostbusters, it's family friendly, but kind of not in a sense.
Groundhog's Day, family friendly,
but
not quite. Because he basically uses his powers, his omnipresent godlike powers, to like rape a girl.
Yeah.
In Groundhog's Day, like I understand that she willingly has sex with him, so it's not technically rape if you go
he
from
just
like
uses
her perspective.
The power to make her fall in love.
But
with
he uses his power in a way that takes advantage. So actually, by that logic, you should know full well going into a Bill Murray movie where he kind of is the main character and he kind of has free reign and it's PG-13. This is what you should get.
Yeah.
I love the CEO. So we got the Bill Murray's the president, but I love the CEO. How he's like, so dogs and cats are watching more TV. Let's put a little mouse or something, you know, keep the cat for some pet appeal.
Let's make a dog channel though, and they did.
Funny.
After
yeah,
this.
They
that's
do.
What's hilarious.
Yeah, the real life is that
there real life there is a
dog and cat channel.
I bet you that has to be from someone who watched this movie.
Someone watched this
and thought. That's
not
a bad idea. Not
a bad idea. Yeah. Let's make a show.
Well, I mean, I remember when we were younger, you know, we'd go somewhere, we'd leave the TV on for the dogs, you know, just, I don't know why, but like it would keep them calmer for some odd reason. The sound, they would think someone's there. Like, because, you know, our dogs would get anxious or whatever, separation anxiety for some odd reason, and be, you know, howling or whatever when we left. So
well,
you leave the TV on, they think someone's there, they hear voices, and they feel better.
And now they have an actual cable channel for dogs.
That's great.
Bluey is a show designed with only colors that dogs can specifically see.
I did
really?
Not. Yeah. Wow.
Using colors that dogs can see.
I just found out recently Bluey's a girl.
Yeah. You
because
didn't know Bluey
was
a girl?
No.
Oh.
When I went to Thanksgiving and your son wanted me to play with the Bluey doll, I was doing very much an Australian boy.
It's a kid.
I was doing an Australian kid voice, but... I was doing boy. Now I need to, I'll change it. I'll give it a more of a girl affect this next time. I'll have to work on it. I didn't know what I didn't research my role. That's on me. Usually when I do a performance, I like to practice a little bit. I like to be in character. I don't care if the audience is 1 3-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Now,
since you're making me watch all this, your job is to watch one season of Bluey before you come over for Thanksgiving.
You know what?
There's like 40 episodes a season though.
I'm not going to watch a whole season.
Like 10 minutes. But they're not long.
They're short.
Right?
They're like short, 15, yeah. 20 minutes, yeah.
I'll get stoned to watch a few episodes of Bluey before coming over.
Look up the most impactful ones. People online will tell you which ones to watch.
Okay. I'll look up a list of best Bluey. I found, it's weird, just speaking of Bluey, on Facebook, I just found the most random group of all time. It popped up in my feed.
Dad's Bluey.
No. It's one frame of Bluey every day. And it's just a random frame of a Bluey episode. And that's it. And it's usually just a weird, it's one of those, like, they'll catch it at, like, when it's a lazy animation moment, transition or whatever.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
The Simpsons, actually, their animators put in, like, for some of the transitional stuff back in the day, they would purposely put in nightmare-looking versions of Bart and Homer that's and, like, awesome. Whatever that you could only catch if you paused it at the exact moment, which they didn't expect people to be able to do, especially when it was, like, VHS technology before DVDs came out. So then I put, oh, look, we get to meet Lionel Luther from Mike.
Oh, Smallville, yeah.
Yeah. I was just, you Wait, wouldn't
who,
have known.
Who was he?
So Lex's father, Lex Luthor's father, is a main character in Smallville.
Okay.
And because Lex is a main character and it's his dad, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of back and forth. And so he's the executive guy trying to take Bill Murray's job.
Okay.
But if you see him in Smallville, you would not think right. that he's the same guy, because he's got a full, beautiful beard, super long, curly hair in the Smallville show.
Okay.
And he's much older.
Yeah.
So, like, 2001.
Doesn't seem like a total Chad.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah,
he's
it's
actually,
12 years later.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like a Chad at all. Yeah. He looks, I mean, he's a villain. Well, not a villain, but he's like a powerful corporate guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He seems like a, I don't even know, who would you describe, compare him to?
Oh, would be like, I guess.
He's Elon Musk?
Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff. That was Elon. A modern one is Elon Musk.
Okay.
I
don't even know. I pulled that name out of nowhere. Yeah. But my last thing, I guess, about John Glover, which is his name, the actor, is he was the first time I ever noticed. So, like, you know how Chris Evans is double dipped as Torch in Captain America?
Yeah.
John Glover has double dipped in the DC universe, and he is Lionel Luthor in Smallville. Can you guess his other one? No?
No idea.
Okay. He is one of the two scientists, or one of the few scientists, that help or betray Poison Ivy in the Batman movie, and then she turns into Poison Ivy. He's one of the scientists that fuck her over in that gas leave her behind.
Yeah.
So he's a small bit part.
Small
in that.
Bit part. In
oh
that.
Yeah, he's not anything. Yeah.
He's not the one that talks in that one.
No,
he's,
I don't think
okay.
so.
He's not like.
But it's he's double sure. dipping. He's that's technically that could have been Lionel Luthor before he got, before he got
before
his money.
Because that was before Smallville. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was. It was okay. Yeah, it's like several years before Smallville.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's your Smallville trivia for the day. Smallville. He has a sign on the back of his wall that says Cross, a thing you nail or they nail people to, because his last name is Cross. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's I would love that, dude. That I love when people take their last names and turn it into their whole identity.
Yeah. I just love
welcome to
they...
Fried Rice Podcast with Andy Rice and Rice Balls with Brennan and Andy Rice. Listen to our tiny grain of rice review of Deadpool Wolverine. The taxi driver that leaves the old lady behind is an asshole.
Yeah. That takes him instead.
Yeah. He shouldn't have taken Bill.
Yeah.
Like
he
said that.
He should have known he wasn't going to get tipped from Bill. Like, immediately. This guy stole the cab from this old lady. He's not going to fucking tip.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
And that wasn't the Christmas past.
No, not
driver.
That
Yeah,
one.
That was
not
just
that
the regular
just
guy.
A regular
guy. But yeah, like, what a dick. Yeah. Dude, it's like, I didn't like that.
I mean, that's probably how it is in New York, though. Like, I can imagine they
not
just kind of.
Not as much as Christmas Past, though. Christmas Past was a real dick because he's got to be killing people left and right.
Yeah. Well, he's going through
cab
people.
Driver, listen.
I think he's operating.
The strobe lighting in that cab alone would be enough to kill several people.
I would like to imagine that he. No, you're Mike. You're so on it.
I think only Bill can see him, though.
That you're on it. If yeah. he was physically in the same space as real humans.
Yeah,
I'm with
dead.
You. He's a terrible. He shouldn't exist. But I like to think of him as like the night bus from Harry Potter, right, where yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's doing its own fucking weird shit. No one knows what's happening.
Yeah.
But yes, he's, and here's a little trivia for the kids at home, and I guess everybody. The guy that plays the taxi driver, he's the singer of, and the song that he hates that ruined his fucking life, he says, because everyone, that's what they associate him with, him, that in this movie, is feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Wow.
Oh, no, Rita. Feeling hot, hot, hot. So you got to watch the music video.
Oh,
it's
great.
Him. I mean, it's 100% him. It's the ghost from Christmas Past. It almost feels like a trick. It almost feels like Bill Murray is looking at a TV and he's looking at the ghost of Christmas Past pretending to be the singer of Hot, Hot, Hot.
Oh, that's great.
But it's absolutely him. I think his name is Frankie Valentine. That maybe, I'm not sure. That's kind of popping in my head. Anyway, random. Bill Cosby wins the Bill Murray. What's his name in this movie?
Frank
Cross.
Yeah.
Frank okay.
Cross,
yeah. So Frank wins Humanitarian of the Year award. That's wonderful. That's just so. It means whoever wins those things is bullshit. By the way, check out our Die Hard episode where we had Bullhead City's Humanitarian of the Year. John. I just wanted him to hear that if he listens to this. And the costume work and the makeup work and the whole design for, let's just face it, all three of the ghosts, or all four,
great.
Great. But Cross's old boss coming in, or
oh, that was
old,
the best. Oh, yeah, I love that.
That's what a great scene. The
dead
golf
7 years,
ball.
Barely looked four. Yeah.
What a scary scene. What an intense scene. What a funny scene.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not your first time watching it, and you're listening for the jokes more than you're watching for the spectacle of it, it's funny.
Oh, it's
like
funny.
The lines going back and forth, because it takes you multiple watches to really get the humor of that scene. Because, when you're a kid and you watch that scene, it sticks out like, holy shit.
Because he's such good makeup.
Dude, and when he sticks him out the window with his hand there and it rips off, like he rips the flesh off and he falls, terrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I get what you're saying. Like, this, for young children, no.
Yeah.
Brennan's children, 3 and 5, no. But your 13-year-old, absolutely. Yeah. Your 15-year-old. Is he 15?
15.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah.
15.
He's got to like nipples, right?
Yeah. Hey, if he doesn't, Mike. That's okay.
That's okay.
This is where we're at in the world. It's 2025, baby. Everyone has nipples. I just literally listened to episode 11 of the 6 Feet Under, where one of the characters that we just covered today has a thing where she's like, everyone has nipples. You've grabbed them. You've sucked on them. It's like, what's the problem? And Dexter from Dexter, being a gay mortician in this one, has to tell her like, well, maybe not when you're working on a dead body. Like, you put your hard nipples in his face. We have a certain level of decorum. So there's a time and a place. I put amazing costume for Cross's old boss. Holy shit, that's a real number that they put up on the TV. I didn't call it, but they have not a 555 or a 333. I didn't call it. I usually do. But it was late when I was watching it. I was like, it's usually some person. But I normally do. If there's a, like, who hasn't called 8675309 or whatever? The golf ball bounces were not possible. It's weird, but each bounce should have gotten smaller. Like, that's how physics works. So there's somebody literally was tossing the ball up back to him in that scene, obviously, and they misjudged, but I guess the take was too good. They didn't want to do anything. How old is Frank Cross supposed to be in this? Is he in his 40s? Would you say 45?
I think it's Bill Murray. And
what am I keep saying?
They went back
I'm just saying Bill Murray.
Oh,
he Frank, always looks that way. Yeah. I don't know right now if he's 40 or 90.
Well, when they went back to the Christmas Past.
I have no idea.
When they went back to Christmas Past, it was 1955, and he was like, 10 maybe?
Yeah.
7 to 10, somewhere in that range.
So he had been around
was
in
like
his mid-40s?
Yeah.
Mid-40s.
Because there's like a lot of... I don't know.
It's hard
to tell. When the flashback scenes to him as a much younger man 20 years ago, whatever. It doesn't, like, you're right. Bill Murray just, he's sort of one of those, he's like a Paul Rudd if it wasn't handsome that he got stuck on. If it was just Bill Murray face.
Yeah. Like Steve Martin.
Yeah,
Steve
Martin's
looked the same age since he was 25.
He's a good looking guy.
He's a good looking guy.
But he's been, when he was 25, he had white hair, looked just the same age he does now.
Yeah. You're right.
He looks the same. Even now. Like, it's crazy.
Like Judi Dench.
He's like 80. Judi Dench. Yes.
Judi Dench kind of looks the same. Every time I've ever seen a picture of Judi Dench, from when she was M to now, like Downton Abbey, she looks like the same chick. Yeah.
When they're 20, they look 45. And when they're 65, they look 45. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't age.
Well, it left me. Okay, so during the restaurant scene where Cross meets, you know, Lionel Luther, Cross begins to see hallucinations, and he, like, he pours water on a fire, right?
Thought you were Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
That was a good joke. The funny thing is, it's jokes like that, though. That's sort of what I was getting at. When a lot of this movie doesn't hold up in that way, like for people who
don't know,
the girls at work, they would not get 80% of the jokes in this movie.
They probably don't know who Richard Pryor is.
Yeah, they wouldn't know who Richard Pryor was, for example,
or that he lit himself on fire at Freebase.
The same people that wouldn't get a lot of the jokes in this are the same people that watched Deadpool and Wolverine and didn't get a lot of the jokes in that.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like there's a certain type of person that is obsessed enough with pop culture, entertainment, and old cinema and old whatever that's part of it, ingrained in our DNA. We just love it.
We
know this stuff. Right. But the thing is, that's a lot of people. But then there's some people out there that do not give a fuck about nothing about none of this stuff.
They just want to see something that might be funny to them. And
they just want to sit there and have something playing on the screen in front of them. They don't care. They go to the bathroom. You don't have to pause it. Don't worry. And then at that point, you're like, what are we even fucking doing?
NPCs.
Are we married?
They're just NPCs at that point.
Yeah. Don't pause it. That means you don't give a shit about nothing. Yeah.
I told you this was one of my favorite movies, right?
Yeah. I'm going to pause it. I saw a little meme, a little video where the guy's like, I'm going to pause it, and I'm going to rewind it to a little bit before we were. So I'm going to force you. I'm going to punish you.
Yeah.
I'm going to punish you to make you rewatch something that you're obviously not into.
And then I'm going to make you listen to me for 2 hours afterwards explaining everything.
Yeah. Exactly. The waiter at some point, he says, Cross, like, what's that over there? As he's pointing to the baked Alaska. He goes, oh, that's a baked Alaska, sir. You wouldn't want that. It's a dessert. And then he goes, okay. And he goes, how about this over here? And the guy's like, oh, that's the meatloaf, sir. You wouldn't want that. What the fuck is this waiter doing? Yeah. And why isn't he giving this customer what he wants?
Worst salesman ever. Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, I'd like that thing over there. It looks great. Oh, it's a dessert. Okay, great. Thank you. I'll have it. Thank you. Thanks. That's what I said. I'll have it. The meatloaf. You said meatloaf? I love meatloaf. Oh, no, sir. You wouldn't want that. Why? Do you poison your meatloaf? Is the meat rat? Like, is it human? What are we doing? Now I don't want it, you fucking creep. What should I get? What did you dip your penis in, your ball sack in?
Was I the only one, and you're already past this? I was waiting to see if you bring it up. But the second Bobcat came on screen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was excited.
But thinking back, having seen this for the first time, I did not recognize Bobcat.
No. Not at all. Oh, because
Until he talked.
Yeah, because of his hair.
His hair being short and all that. You couldn't recognize him. He didn't look anything like the Bobcat we all know.
Yeah. Even when he talks, it's...
Oh, no. When he talks, it's instant. That's Bobcat!
But he does dial it back. He dials back the Bobcat.
Dialed back. No, absolutely it's dialed back. But it's still Bobcat.
I don't know. It's like the... He's like a nervous Bobcat.
It's a unique voice for sure.
But yeah, I forgot. I didn't write any notes about that. But it is great that he.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
By the way, that ad.
Merry Christmas, fucker. Yeah.
4 minutes to get him out of the building. 4 minutes and 40 seconds to get him out of the building.
The ad that Bobcat has a problem with, which is the one that Bill Murray wants to play, is so funny. Just explosions, like a. Just terrorists, all sorts of shit, and then Bobcat, sir, if you play that, just
people are going to be scared.
And then, like, the next day, hey, by the way, a grandmother watched our ad last night and died. Yes! Just get so excited. I'm like, yep, he's irredeemable. Real bad guy. Ghost cab goes through a truck in 1955, but why did the trunk honk its horn?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ghost cab goes,
yeah, you're right,
he goes,
it does,
he
yeah.
transitions to 55 and goes through the truck, but the truck's like, oh, fuck, yeah. And then, like, a ghost goes through him,
right.
But you don't see the reaction of the truck, but you hear a honk,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's about to crash. And like every truck in every movie of all time, the honk instead of brake.
Yeah.
It's like they forget which one's which. They go, the horn must be the one that slows shit down. Yeah. Oh, there's a teenager in the middle of the road. Regina George from, or I'm like a yeah. bus driver and it's Mean Girls. And some girls in the middle of the road. Let me just put the horn on.
Yeah. Yeah.
The moment you hear a horn
they
before
stop.
There's a collision of a human person, I feel like you blame the driver.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't just hear screeching brake noises, they
I
didn't try
hear,
to save your life.
Usually hear both. It's like they just kind of push everything down.
Maybe.
You know, and it's just kind of like, hey,
or
trying
they should anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But
draw
not
attention.
In most movies.
Not in most movies.
In most
no.
movies, they just keep driving. And
yeah.
they, so many hit and runs
yeah.
with truck drivers,
in
bro.
Movies.
They have a, it's like they got to get those gay boy advances to fucking
yes.
wherever they're going.
It's Christmas, man. We get
it's Christmas. Garden slugs get more out of life than you. Oh, yeah? Name one. I liked that exchange. I wrote it down.
No, because he said he did more things than just sit and watch TV. And he's like, oh, yeah, name one accomplishment. You know, that's what he was saying, name one more of. And he
Wait.
Couldn't name any. He's like, I did this. And he's like, nope, that was this show. Like he started naming accomplishments like that he did. And they're like, that's Leave It to Beaver. Like, that's this. That's that. Like, that's not you.
Wait, oh, this is when he's
When he's in the past looking at, yeah, and he's like, he wasted your life watching TV.
And he's remembering all the moments that were like TV moments, but his moments.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay. Because.
Still live life.
Memory, I think the future is going to be memory hacks. I'm just thinking of this right now, but I haven't thought of this prior to that, but memory hacks. Because right now, if Bill Murray's character can remember a Leave It to Beaver perfect Christmas with his family, quote unquote, that's from the TV, and he can remember it as clear as day, then what's the difference between him remembering the real Christmas? Right now, everyone's memory is fucked up and it's wrong, and every memory you have is wrong. There's no correct memories, because even in, like, everyone could watch the same event and have different, like, details,
yeah.
Right?
Just like we watch the same movie and have different opinions.
Exactly.
It's the same way, yeah.
And so,
that
they
was
do...
my one takeaway from the final cut we watched a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Memory can be skewed.
It can be. And so, think of if there was a way to, I don't know how, probably using VR, probably using that new Neuralink stuff, but being able to directly go back and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind edit memories, where all they have to do is go to a traumatic point in your life, replace it with footage from Full House. And it's like literally you then think for like a little bit of your... I mean, they would have to curate specific
that's
memories.
Very scary.
Yeah, that's getting more into the Black Mirror
stuff. Type
stuff. Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, you don't know. A lot of the reason your memories are skewed is because your brain does things to protect itself.
Yeah. It wants you to forget.
It
certain
wants
things,
you to forget
certain,
certain
details.
It'll
yeah.
remember them different ways on purpose because it
yeah.
protects you.
Yeah.
I think depressed people don't have that ability. I feel like my brain doesn't have the. It changes. If anything,
it might focus on certain things.
It amplifies the bad memories.
Yeah.
It takes them and makes them probably worse than they were.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
In a lot of ways, to like
yeah.
punish me or something.
But or it could also still be to protect you to let yourself not get in that situation again. Your brain will do weird shit, man.
I don't have a lot of good memories. I typically, most of the time, it's a low light reel playing in my head of all the worst things that's ever happened to me. And, like, that's normal, right?
You got good stuff, too. You have good stories that you talk
your
about.
Stories,
like,
most of them are pretty good.
Your whole European experience, like, sure, you talk about the bad, but you talk about the good, too, you know?
Yeah, but I guess I don't normally go there as a memory.
I don't think you focus.
That's when you're alone, you don't.
Yeah, when you're alone, you don't focus on
that.
That's
what it is. Yeah. So maybe I do need people.
But
in
that's
life.
Normal, though.
Yeah, that's
kind of
normal.
Do.
Yeah.
Or a cat. You should get a cat, dude. Cats kill flies. They kill bugs. If any bugs are in
you
here.
You really need it.
Yeah. Like, I was watching my cat yesterday. Like, my wife, I hate it. She leaves the door open. And, like, during the day, like, she'll just leave the door wide open. I'm like, just open the windows. We have windows. Open the windows. Doors wide open, flies are coming in, cats are going outside.
Is she as bad as my wife who did the same thing yesterday? Left the door open all afternoon. She went over to my mom's house next door, right?
Yeah.
Left the back door standing wide open. I come back in. I'm out in the front yard cleaning up stuff. I come back in, which is fine. Yeah. Shit happens, whatever. Yeah. But that's not the problem. The problem is then she comes back over from mom's house. We start making dinner, and she's like, where'd all these flies come from?
You
yeah I don't I, but you can't, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just gotta keep the peace.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, I'm just look at her like, I swear to God, one of these days
Alice, pow, straight to the moon.
But our cat was hunting the couple flies we had in there, and I was like, Annie needs a cat. Cats are low maintenance, they're easy pets, they're fun.
I think Andy has a maybe would have a cat box problem.
Probably, yeah. Get a self-cleaning cat box.
Oh, you mean like cleaning up another creature's
poop?
Well,
just the smell of it and stuff like that, yeah. Just get a self-cleaning cat box, change the trash bag, and good.
True, they do make those now.
Yeah.
I mean, are you guys big cat?
I love cats.
Like, what are we doing? Why are you trying to sell any cat?
I don't
like
cats.
I
like
animals
personally,
in
but my wife loves cats, so we have a cat.
Yeah.
And it's okay because our cat, it's very dog-like, our cat. Yeah, whatever. Some of them are.
No, with my luck, I'm going to get a skittish fucking cat that doesn't want to hang out. And like, but you know what? Hey, it'll probably take after me. It'll just want to be left alone. And then it'll need a cat to keep
you
it company.
The cat will need a cat.
Or it'll need a mouse. And the mouse will need a, like a something.
Like Tom and Jerry running around.
Yeah, it'll be a reverse
of that.
The
cat will kill Randy.
Yeah. I knew an autistic boy who once swallowed a fly in front of his cat, who was autistic as well. There was a mouse involved.
We can write this book, kids
if
book.
You
yeah,
give
him,
if you give
book.
Andy a cat, they're both going to be autistic.
Andy gets a cat.
Andy gets a cat.
Andy gets a cat. There was a boy
book.
Named Andy, and he just got himself a cat.
Said he needed people in his life, and instead got a cat.
Yeah,
easier.
He felt so. He felt so sad about himself because he was so fat. That cat came in and made him happy, filled him up with joy. Andy's too weird about cat bodies to find out if it was a girl or a boy. This would be the autistic version of it. Back to the movie. So no smoking when audience is present is a funny, just a funny sign to have in a flashback, like in the flashback when he was in the dog costume.
Although I did think it was kind of weird that like he didn't go all the way backstage before taking the head off of the dog costume.
The
the kids were right there just sitting there watching, just like, well, there's the magic of the show.
Yeah, like, fuck. I'd hate to be a live studio audience member and have that ruined for you.
Yeah, that would suck.
And you know the live studio audience members are the ones that are the biggest fans.
Yeah. It'd be like going to see Barney live and then like...
Mickey Mouse, like the ones at Disney World, I think they let their actors die or pass out before they take the hood off.
That's true.
Yeah.
Crazy. They just drag them back.
Yeah.
Mickey's
Mouse
okay.
He's stroke and falls down. They just
they drag
him
off.
Just drag
they'll,
him off.
Yeah. They'll let them die before before they take that fucking thing off. They'll hide behind that weird green paint that they put on stuff to make you not notice
it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Who is Dick Burton? They make a reference to Dick Burton, and I just looked him up on IMDb, and he's the father. And because it's the homeless guys, they're like, "Oh yeah, Richard Burton, good old Dick Burton, do a thing, do the Exorcist too, do whatever." And I looked him up, and then Bill Murray does an impression of him, but it's interesting that he's a real. I didn't know about him. Claire or Andy McDowell from Groundhog's Day. Who do I love the most? Claire from Scrooged, Andy McDowell, Groundhog's Day. Who would you rather be with? because they're both sweet. They're both beautiful.
And both look past his flaws.
I'm going with Carol Kane.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Carol Kane.
That's the Ghost of Christmas present.
She was hot. That was definitely a childhood crush as a kid. I think it was the combination of the look and the voice.
Yeah.
Like all of it. Like it
just, I would even take her from Princess Bride.
Princess Bride,
if I had to.
Yeah.
If that's the only Carol Kane I could get. Yeah, but she's not on the list. I would say probably I think Groundhog's Day, Andy McDowell.
It's tough because again, Sandlot. She was the mom in Sandlot and
which one? Claire or Andy?
Claire.
McDowell? Oh.
Yeah.
Was Claire also Lois Lane?
I think she was, wasn't she?
Or
Karen Allen? Is her name?
No.
Yeah.
Is that Karen
yeah. Allen. Yeah.
Was she Lois Lane?
I think so. I think she was somebody else.
Or was she in Superman?
I thought she was.
I thought so, too. She looks like Lois Lane. I might be wrong, though. At the homeless shelter, the fuse situation, when the volunteers go up, like, we need fuses. We need what? He's like, well, go in the phone book and look it up. I'm like, what a fucking asshole, dude. And then I put that Claire is way, way, way too forgiving of Frank. At that point, it's like, never talk to me again, you fucking jerk. So maybe Claire, because honestly, you can get away with murder with Claire.
Yeah, she's pretty forgiving. She kind of comes right back.
I change it to Claire. Andy McDowell's too independent.
Yeah.
I like my women submissive. Let's go Handmaid's Tale. 2025, baby. Trump. It's Trump's world. Revenge tour. Your body, my choice. Woo! America!
That is such a bad take.
Yeah, I know.
The guy that wrote that
that white supremacist piece of fucking shit, Nick Fuentes.
Yeah. Didn't abortion pass in every single state it was on? We're not doing politics.
We're not, but I do think, but thank God we've had women's rights enshrined, at least in the constitutions of the states. This is where we get him saying bah humbug. He says it, ironically, but he still says it, which I like. I like that they gave him a bah humbug. And in the right moment, too, where he's using it ironically, but then at the same time, he's also saying to her, fuck Christmas, bah humbug. Does he not see the parallels between Scrooge and his own life? That's one of the things I
especially for being such a TV person.
And especially for him putting on a production of Scrooge.
Yeah, he should see the parallels.
He even says Charles Dickens would want nipples. Yeah. How does he not know? Actually, or is it that he does know? And that's why he doesn't question the ghost as much as Scrooge does. So, like, when he meets the first ghost, he kind of just goes with it. Because he's like, after, he's like, oh, well, fuck, shit. All right, let's just do this then.
Yeah.
Like, so
he kind of just rolls with it.
He rolls with it. So maybe he does kind of be like, he's like, all right, because he does say bah humbug.
Yeah. At that point, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Bitch hit me with a toaster.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
my favorite scene in the whole movie, honestly. Yeah.
Where she just beating him to death.
Yeah, she just beating him.
Wait, who beat who?
Carol Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Murray with the household items over and over. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I remember that. Bryce, which is the name of Lionel Luther's character, him coming up behind and doing the hand massage thingy on the shoulder, I fucking hate when people do that.
Don't touch me.
If you're not in a relationship with me that we've established that I like you to touch my shoulders.
Yeah.
Do not touch me. Do not touch me at all. I've made this point several times throughout my career on stage and audio, and I just say, I don't care who you are, don't touch me.
No. And imagine how many women have to put up with that constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Getting touched?
Yeah.
It's constant.
Yeah, and it's still like that, too. Like, it's gotten a lot better, but it's
better
still,
than it used to be,
Yeah, it's still like that, though.
I never go for a hug first with anybody. You guys know me. We don't even do fist bumps very often or handshakes.
Yeah.
I'm just cool not touching people.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah,
that's good enough.
There's there's women and girls that I know that I don't know any girls, but like the girls that we work with.
Yeah.
They, I think, know I'm not a hugger, but they, I think, are huggers with everyone else. So it's like they know I'm not that guy, and I think other people are starting to realize it too, because even Ashley at the show last night, She saw me, and I think she was going to make a move, and then she just stopped herself and then just said, hey. And I was like, hey. Because she noticed I wasn't hugging nobody. We might have her and Kentucky on for another girl named Kentucky on for our Bad Santa episode, which could be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
which is already out. Just came out. Yeah. So that's fine. This is how time works.
How time works around here.
Ghost of Christmas Present. Yeah, it's my favorite. Kicking him in the balls, punching him. That's right. Now that's where I'm at. Didn't know his assistant's husband was killed. Damn, that's fun. Oh, yeah. He didn't know.
He didn't know.
Yeah,
he thought she was just wearing black.
Yeah, for a year. Oh, yeah. God. He didn't know that. It's like her husband was murdered, bro. Yeah. Like
in front of her child.
And that's why he doesn't talk. Like, holy shit, you know nothing. What a dick. That's a weird family thing when they all blow raspberries on their grown-ass brother's chest.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. And I don't like that Bill Murray continues that later. He's like, I love it. I love when Blood rolls raspberries on each other.
Well, because he does it to Bobcat later. And yeah, he's like, I'm gonna start doing this now. Like, I'm going to be this guy now.
So weird. It's like, no. Such a weird take to take away from that. Oh.
God, I wanted Bobcat to kill him so bad.
I love when he's singing and doing the firing and everything. Like, it's just so much fun.
Yeah, that's that whole Bob. And I did write down that bitch hit me with a toaster. Yeah. I just wasn't there yet in my notes. In the sewer, where are we? Trump Tower? That's a line. Yeah. I'm like, that aged appropriately. To Frank, best brother a guy could have on a handmade picture frame. Lies. He knows it. Frank knows it. What is he doing? He should have just said Merry Christmas, best wishes. Love you, brother.
His brother loved him. He was a good little brother, loving his older brother.
But best brother of all time?
It's his only brother.
But best brother of all time?
If he only had one brother, that's the best brother he ever had.
I tell my granddaughter, she's my favorite granddaughter all the time.
The only granddaughter you got.
I have,
the only one I got.
I have two sisters.
Yeah.
Not my favorite sisters.
Neither one.
Neither one?
Neither one.
No.
I mean, I definitely have a favorite sister.
No, I mean, I have other sisters I'd probably pick as favorite. Like, other friend sisters or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even other people's sisters.
Yeah, but that's more... I feel like the family dynamic has kind of changed throughout the years. Like, I feel like the 80s, it was, like, very much, like, blood is family.
Yeah, whereas, the nuclear family, the intermediate family.
90s is kind of, 90s, 2000s is kind of when we change it to, like, we pick our families now.
The
like,
blended families, yeah. Extended families, and friends are family.
I think maybe that's a reflection on our families because, man, them girls at work, they're close.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're very close. Yeah. No, I guess
just to each family their own.
Yeah.
I liked hanging out with my friends more than my sisters, I guess.
Yeah.
So I mean, didn't spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
And now I live in a different state, so... And then, you know, I never call. And
it's part of being an adult.
Yeah. How often do you talk to your guys' sister?
Not very often.
Once a year?
Like holidays. My brother once a year. I'm going to go. This will be. I haven't talked to my brother in literally 3 years until I go. We're going in March to his daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'll say something on Facebook or whatever. But as far as like calling on the phone or whatever, we don't do that.
My youngest sister will call me occasionally. Just like, hey, how you doing? Like, we haven't talked in a while.
Yeah.
Hope you're doing well.
Those are just weird to me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, there's, what it is, it's like friends.
Just checking in.
It's like a friend that you used to have.
Yeah.
That, but you're required to keep in your life.
Yeah. They talk to my wife more often, though, I would say. My wife keeps in contact with everybody for me. I'm like, I don't want to talk on the phone. I'm busy.
I hate the phone is part of my problem.
I talk to my buddies on the phone occasionally, like once a month, once every 2 weeks, but like.
I talk to my parents all the time.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah, I talk to my dad a lot on the phone.
I like one of my sisters is pretty cool. anyway, let's just move on.
All right, Frank.
Bah humbug.
Yeah, bah humbug. I like how the Ghost of Christmas Future comes out of the TV. It was a cool transition. No security for like 8 shotgun blasts going on. They got in the fastest elevator door of all time. He jumps into the elevator and it closes immediately before Bobcat can get a shot off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without hitting any buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they air this live on Christmas where it ends at midnight? Because that's how they're sort of framing it. They're like Christmas is in 12 minutes or whatever. I'm like, what does that mean? Does it mean midnight? So this went on from like 9 to midnight?
Probably. Oh, you're saying something in the theaters?
No, I'm talking about what? The live production of Scrooge that Frank Cross was putting on. Was that airing 9 to midnight?
Like 9 to midnight New York time, maybe.
Okay.
Like, because then you got the West Coast that's earlier.
Yeah, I just thought it was just weird. When Future Ghost is done with him, he checks the time and says, yeah, a quarter till. Have we missed it? Yeah, so that's like, it's a quarter till. So that's why. How can they slow motion follow a flipped coin in a live production?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the coin flips from Scrooge, you follow the coin, and then it lands in the kid's face. The only thing I could think of is that they used, that's the one cheat that they did, or maybe they had a few cheats, but it was like a
pre-shot,
pre-recorded coin in the air, and then they just used that.
Sure.
And then that could have worked. I didn't think about that.
Power of editing.
Power Saturday of editing. Night Live style.
Yes. Yeah.
The SS Minnow.
Him answering the question. And then just
during the speech at the end. That opens up a weird idea that ghosts are real and that he could prove it. So, like, he can go to his brother and he's like, can I tell you how I knew about the SS Minnow? And his brother would be like, okay. He's like, great. I totally got Scrooged. I got visited by some ghosts. One of them was Ghost of Christmas Present. I watched your guys's like little game. Like, I watched it happen. Brother's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, how the fuck do you think, not what, 20 minutes later, I'm on live TV and I'm saying like SS Minnow, buddy. And like,
talking
that's
about
the
gift I got you.
Yeah, talking about the gift. Yeah. Bro, like
That's Scrooged 2.
Scrooged 2 is
trying
really
to convince the world.
Ghostbusters 1.
Yeah.
So he dedicates his life to the study of ghosts after meeting three of them and being done with the TV game because he's like kind of over it or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I like that idea.
See, I like the idea. My only rewrite of this movie, honestly, is to make Bill Murray not change. I'm going to go through all that and still be a fucking asshole.
Still be Bill Murray.
So you don't want the Christmas Carol. You just want...
No, I want him to try. I want him to, like, try. And then he gets to the end. He's like, no, fuck all y'all.
He just reverts right back to it. When Elliot fires his shotgun in the booth and tells them all to party, there's an overweight lady who cries while doing a chicken dance in the very front. It's very distracting, very funny. But there's just this lady going... She's just crying and she's flapping her arms up and down and she's so scared she's gonna die. I'm like, that's fucking hilarious. The censor lady rape kisses Lionel Luther. Bryce. He definitely does not want her.
He's tied up.
He's tied up and she aggressively goes after him.
She's heavily concussed. I will give her that excuse.
She's been beat to shit this entire fucking movie.
She's not in her right mind.
The speech he gives at the end is basically a very Merry Christmas. That's kind of the vibe you get when you watch that other Netflix show.
Yeah.
Is him coming out like, hey, all right. You know, like, let's do Christmas. Like, when he's talking to the audience.
There's a part of the movie I hated.
Yeah, we'll get it. Yeah.
Because I think that's all ad-libbed. A lot of it's ad-libbed. He did a lot of ad-libbing in this movie. I know him and the director fought a lot. After the movie came out, he was like, Bill Murray said, this could have been a great movie, but they left a lot on the floor.
Bill Murray fought with the director?
Yeah, every time.
I can't imagine.
Every time. Every director he works with.
He said that this could have been great, but they left a lot.
They left a lot on the floor, yeah.
If we had the rated R cut of this, the Snyder cut, it'd be awesome. Yeah. There's a scene where she gets in so Claire gets in the ghost taxi cab again. Really opening up the possibility of ghost shit. And she says, can you get me to the IBC tower in 5 minutes? He says, yeah, sweetheart, which floor? Yeah. At that point, I get out of the cab.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what do you mean,
we're driving
sir?
Into the building?
Are you gonna kill us? Are you about to 9/11 us before we knew what that was?
Yeah.
If I was watching the Scrooge special as a regular person watching the live Scrooge special with Buddy Hackett and all that stuff with Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah.
I would be so fucking pissed with Bill Murray coming out and having this weird personal talking to his brother, getting the cast involved, laughing. Hey, we're all having fun here. Hey, look, it's just a production. Look at all the behind-the-scenes shit. Like, I got in trouble. I almost stapled reindeer to things to little
you,
mice.
You just paid $300 for this ticket to watch me go off.
Yeah. And so he's basically just, he ruins the Scrooge production. Yes. Even though everyone loves it at the end, that's the most unrealistic part. Yes, Mike, him coming out and doing the speech is the worst part of this movie. I wish it didn't end this way. I wish that he didn't come out and ruin the live special. I wish that he...
Tag a scene end.
This is what happens. Yeah. This is how you end it. This is how you end it. He gets done with Ghost of Christmas Future. He is about to walk into the studio as it's about to do the big finale, and he can take all the credit. And then, instead, he stops at the doorway, and he goes, no. There's something more important. And he turns around, and then as he's going to go find Claire at the homeless shelter, she finds him out front. That's how you end it.
Right.
That's a much sweeter ending. Because that way he's not doing like this hokey talking to the fucking audience of the movie.
Yeah, I felt
like
we got no sweetness in the ending. Yeah, there's no story. That's not how Charles, in other words, like the story.
Yeah.
We got none of that sweet ending to the story. He
literally takes Claire up hey, give me a kiss, baby. And she's like, I don't want to do this right now.
Yeah.
Like,
and then the talking to the audience in the theaters, which was stupid.
Stupid.
Because and maybe it wasn't if you saw it in the theaters the first time.
One time.
But that's one time. And then every rewatch of this, you're like, who the fuck is he talking to?
I'm
sitting here with me and my wife watching this movie. Now all the girls, now all the boys, shut the fuck up.
I put, Bill Murray addressing the audience of the theaters, us, is weird. I wonder if people actually saying in the theaters.
Not. I cannot imagine it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know what's crazy is that it would probably only take one or two people
to start
really get it going.
Yeah.
Like, but who's brave enough to do that? Isn't that so weird how we're
theater
so...
kids?
Yeah, theater kids. I bet if there were some theater kids,
you could maybe get a group of people that would do it together. Yeah. But in a general average movie theater,
well,
I imagine
if it's like if they were hoping that this movie would get the cult following, like, you know, a Rocky Horror Picture Film, things like that.
If it was a Rocky Horror show,
everybody's
Rocky
singing.
Rocky Horror Picture Film.
Rocky Horror. Yeah,
the prequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show. The Rocky Horror Picture Film. Documentary about Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I just found it really bad. It took me out of everything else. I was like, oh, well, this sucks.
It's like they didn't stick the landing.
It was very amateurish.
It shows that he changed his ways. He gives his assistant a raise that she deserves and the bonus and, you know, calls his brother out and says, you know, I need to be better. Like, it shows that he changed and he grew.
I love
what they're doing.
My favorite thing is when that speech is him talking to his brother through the TV. Like, that's super fucking sweet and awesome.
Yeah.
This movie's 95% perfect. I think the comedy's there. I think the makeup and effects are there. I think the acting is there. I think the story's there. I think it's a great parallel of, like, he's a Scrooge, but he's not named Scrooge, putting on a Scrooge performance. It's so good, so nuanced. All these things that make him
kind of meta before meta.
Yes.
Yeah. And he also, the way he's an asshole throughout this, still he's kind of likable. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell why
Bill Murray, right? Yeah.
You can tell how he got to where he was.
Thank God it wasn't who they offered it to originally, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
This would not have worked with Michael Keaton.
I love Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. Yeah. It's just not the right part.
He's too nice for
totally
it.
Different movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it would be a different movie, yes.
He plays a good asshole, but not as good as Bill Murray. Not as good as Bill Murray.
And not as face, just not as funny. I mean, it's just nothing wrong with it. He's just not. He's more dramatic.
So, Johnny Dangerously was a pretty funny movie. That was slapstick.
Ashley Dancy, who we should have on soon, last night when we were hanging out at the show, she said, just Michael Keaton. She's like, do you know Michael Keaton? I'm like, yes, I know who Michael Keaton is. And I was just like, what are you talking, Mr. Mom?
Yeah.
And I was about to say Multiplicity, but then she's like, a movie called Multiplicity. I was like, yeah, I know Multiplicity. they're all clones? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, and they fuck his wife? Yeah. Like, yep. Yeah. And then she said earlier, this is just a interesting exchange, but I heard her wrong. We were talking about strip clubs, and she's like, the one thing you got to look for strip clubs are her bees. And I was like, and I had to, I didn't want to say anything. So I turned to Kentucky. I was like, what the hell are bees? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, at strip club, you got to look up for her bees. Herpes. And she's like, no, herpes. I was just like, oh, fucking idiot. I'm such a fucking moron. But I wanted to be one of the cool kids, so I didn't want to embarrass myself. That's why I turned to Kentucky. So hopefully we'll have them on soon. I give this a B. I mean, it's a solid B. It would get a B plus for me, I think, if it wasn't for that last ending part. But other than that, this is a solid of a fun for adults and teens Christmas movie. You know, it's not a kid's Christmas movie. It's not Jingle All the Way, and that's great. Like, Jingle All the Way had its charm. Scrooge has its charm. Yeah. It's less charming. That's the thing. It's not charming.
No.
It's kind of...
That's the thing with it. It almost... It has so much negative to it. I don't mean the movie itself. I'm just saying it's got negative feels in the movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Christmas.
Yeah.
That's my only... That and the ending are my two issues with this movie. It's not bad, but it's not... To me, it doesn't feel like Christmas. You know, that warm Christmas
if
feeling.
Somebody,
you get.
I would, if somebody had the argument,
and I think
is,
that's because they ruined the ending.
Is Scrooge a Christmas movie? I would maybe argue, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah,
but it kind of is.
Kind of is. Yeah. But it's kind of like Die Hard. It's set at Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's not a Christmas movie. You know what I mean? It's
so. What do you give it as a grade?
C.
Out of our
a solid. C.
By the way, until we change our B is as high as it gets with us.
Right, so that was really an A.
Yeah, like, so B, C, D, E, or B, C, D, F, and then we have W for waste of time if it gets that bad. So we only do B movies typically, even though this isn't one. Doesn't matter. Our host, that thing is fucked. We're changing it all. We love you, Zach.
Ignore our grading system for a few more weeks.
Yeah, just a few more episodes until the end of the year.
Yeah.
B is my highest one. So C, you said?
C, yeah,
okay.
Solid.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a low grade.
I definitely give it a.
So, I knew that was coming.
It's okay. It'll average out, Andy. I give it a B as well.
Yeah. Nice.
It's a solid movie. It's definitely
it's
one of those
B-.
ones. I love.
Perfect.
Yeah, I love it. Even the ending, I enjoy it. I enjoy the kind of just silly quirkiness of the conversing with the audience and telling everybody, stop watching the fucking TV. Go spend time with family. It's Christmas. What are you doing? Like, you know, which is, it's true because every year at Christmas, you always have the TV on, but it's usually just background noise. Like,
right.
You kind of, it's always Christmas Story or something along those lines playing 24 hours, and you just kind of catch bits and pieces of it.
Except for, of course, this year, we're at Christmas, on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tell my whole family to sit down and shut the fuck up.
Because the football?
The football game's on.
Oh, the Chiefs play this Christmas?
The Chiefs play on Christmas Day.
Is there usually a Christmas game?
There is, but it's usually some bullshit game that means nothing. And this year, they have, like, an important game on it.
Two big
Day.
Teams.
Chiefs and Steelers on Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the number 1 and 2 seed. They're probably going to be playing for the 1 seed for the playoffs. It's like going to be a big game. Which
got it.
And, of course, after watching, which I don't know if any of you did last night, the boxing match.
Oh, I watched
my
it.
My wife did.
It was
holy
awful.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What a boring fight.
Well, not only that, they couldn't. The streaming was horrid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was funny. Austin and I were watching, just like, God, the quality was like,
it was
it's a
bad.
Fucking potato.
Well, it was great until the main event.
Yeah.
Is what everyone was saying.
Yeah, once everybody turned it on, it was like,
once the main fight started, it went to shit.
Yeah, that was one of the most boring fights ever.
Yeah. My wife said the fight before was much
It was
better.
Great.
The girl fight
the
was...
The girl fight was great.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said they were badasses. Yeah. Like, they were one of them was bleeding the whole time, and she was like, they're going to stop the fight. But she doesn't want him to.
Know,
yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't watch the fight before. We just got back from the show.
Yeah.
And then we turned on the Tyson fight. We're just sitting there, just bored, just thinking like, dude.
So bad.
And it sucks. There must have been. It was. When I hear the word rigged, now I think like, I mean, Jake Paul should have knocked his ass out. Should have should have knocked Mike Tyson out
at that point.
At that point in the fight, once it was an interesting fight because if you watch it at the beginning, Tyson rocked him.
Oh, yeah.
At the very beginning of the fight, round one, Tyson rocked him once, and you could tell at that point, and then he backed off. And then he got tired after that.
Because I think they had certain rules, too, that he couldn't hit him in the face.
No, they didn't, but...
Their only rules,
I think they had that rule, kind of.
Yeah, they...
Between them,
I think. They were collecting a bag.
Yeah, I think they were collecting a bag between the two of them.
$40 million, like, come on. Like, keep our faces pretty.
Knocked out fucking Tyson. Whatever.
No, it's funny, I went by... the other store at one point to get something, and it was while the main event was on, and I get there and they were dead, and like we were busy up until about right before the main event started, and they were only at like 2,500 for the day, but they were playing the fight in there. And I get there, it's the seventh round, like the end of the seventh round, the eighth's about to start. And I'm like, they both look like fresh.
Yeah.
Like they look tired, but they look fresh. Yeah. Like this sucks.
No
that
damage.
Sucks.
Yeah.
They weren't even trying.
No.
No damage. There's like not one of them was leaving with a black eye.
Yeah.
It's like nothing.
Just lead up. Just bunch of people.
I would want to rearrange Mike Tyson's face tattoo, you know, like make it not look right after you're done with them. But, you know, or Jake Paul. Just
break him,
make him so he can't influence shit. In a hospital, broken from the neck down.
Shit now, can you,
Jay? Yeah. You have to shit in a fucking bag from now on. But anyway, that's how we like to end our Christmas episodes, is with a little bit of current pop culture that's going to age just like this movie.
Yes.
Sort of poorly.
People are going to be like, why are you talking about this now? That was months ago.
Yeah, it was months ago. It was last month.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Bah Humbug and all that. This has been another exciting eight crazy nights of Christmas.
Or 12 or 14.
Or 12 or 14.
Whatever.
We're not keeping an eye on it.
We can't do math.
I don't even know when this one's coming. This could be the last one, the first one. Who knows? So when I say another, yeah. It could be. And thank you for joining us on the first.
Yeah.
This has been our final.
Right
no,
now.
I don't think it's our final.
Yeah.
The final one is actually eight crazy nights, and we don't.
Right.
We don't know that that's our final one because we filmed that. We recorded that a year ago.
Yeah.
So they
do
don't
you have it yet.
No.
Oh, no,
I've asked Jesse 1,000 fucking times.
Oh,
for that.
No.
With me as always, it's Brennan. All I want for Christmas. Wait. How does that song go?
Are you trying to be Mariah Carey right now?
But how does it go? Oh. How does the song go?
All I want for Christmas is you.
All I want for Christmas is Shipley up to Boston.
I don't think you'll hear the eight crazy nights. Sorry, people.
we're really, really trying. And with us as always, it is Michael Bobcat Goldwaith Larson.
Have a good week, everybody.
I've been your host, Andy Rice. This has been Fried Rice Podcast. This has been a Christmas special, part of an eight crazy nights series.
Or so.
Thank you. Good night.
It's a Fried Rice Christmas, and I've invited everyone. Grab a pipe, a bong, a joint, and all have ourselves some fun. It's a Fried Rice Christmas, and Andy's really high. He's gonna go on a tangent soon. The guys are standing by. It's a Fried Rice Christmas. Let's all smoke some pot. We love all of our listeners. You all mean a lot. It's a Fried